Welcome to the Starfound Podcast, an actual play podcast of the tabletop role-playing game Starfinder by the lovely people at Paizo. Now, some of you may know Starfinder and its cousin D&D and may know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you may be totally in the dark. Don't worry, I'm here to fill you in. A tabletop role-playing game mixes the boundaries between long-form improvisation and board games, and what this means is that a group of friends sit around a table and collaboratively tell a story, the outcome of which is decided by rolls on a 20-sided die that's modified by the character's abilities and skills. Now, several of these friends are the players, and they have made characters that are the heroes of the story. Meanwhile, one friend takes on the role of the Game Master, who is sort of the arbiter of the game. They play, but they are also directing the action, you might say. So as the game plays out, if a player wants their character to shoot a laser blaster to hit the target of their bounty in the knee, there are mechanics for that. Or if the heroes need to get into a factory that's producing an army of war robots, they might choose to disguise themselves, or they might try to talk their way in, or they might have some other way of doing it, and we talk it out together. We are recording this second season of Starfound live on twitch.tv/HearthSingerGames every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So go give us a follow right now. The first season is available on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud now, as well as on our YouTube page, so go get caught up. Give us follows, likes, and where you can, write positive or constructive comments. It really helps to get our podcast into the hands of more listeners. New episodes will be released every Wednesday evening, but if you just can't wait that long, head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod and consider pledging at least $5 to get access to the video a whole week earlier, as well as some other sweet patron-only rewards, including private streams and polls that affect the story of the podcast. We have something new happening on patreon.com/starfoundpod. For our $10 and up crewman patrons, we have started creating patron characters with them that live and exist inside the world, and once a month, they get to choose an action that their characters do, and then we resolve it with a dice roll at the end of the month. Now, I'm not entirely certain how this is going to play out, because it's based on what our patrons decide to do with their newfound power, but I'm hoping that the characters that they create and the actions that they take will feature in to the story of Starfound. This is just another way for you, as our listener, to interact with the story and the world that we are creating. Now let's meet some of these mooks, our mostly fearless Starfinders.
I'm Anne Richmond, and I play Amaruk Yuka, Vlaka Solarian, First Claw of Clan Yuka, and Emotional Support Captain for the crew of the Kingfisher.
I'm Helena Anderson, and I play Jaleskia, a very clumsy Kasathan mystic zoologist, and I believe in the pursuit of knowledge and friendship. Friendship is good, too.
Hi, my name is Parker Wallace, and I play Castor 9, android mechanic and pilot of the Kingfisher. Happy to be of service.
Hi, I'm Dexter Warren, and I play Jabberwocky, a Skittermander Technomancer. I'm a magical boy tech whiz with a love of stories and shiny.
Now sit back, strap in, or at least hold on to something. Let's get Starfound. So last time on Starfound, you all descended into the mines deep below in the mountains of Sky, right? Searching for a way to get to this structure underneath the new monolith that had just erupted out of the deserts to the west. And you made your way through various caverns and caves until finally you were ambushed by this massive monster, which you, after a little bit of time, identified as a troll that had had some things happen to it. You fought hard, you almost died, but at the end, you all emerged victorious. And And now you stand over the stinking corpse of this creature whose black reflective skin kind of shimmers in the little bit of light that's present down here, bouncing off of or emitting from the mushrooms and the glowing crystals that grow out of the walls around you.
I'm gonna quickly take a sample of his skin because that seems to be a very nice surface from which to make something.
That's a great idea. Do you want to pick more than a sample? By sample, do you mean do you want to like skin the boy?
I feel like that's a little much. I honestly think she would just want to take like a little bit, like an arm sleeve, you know, sleeping bags. She'll make a sleeping bag out of his arm skin or something.
Amurk is kind of just standing, breathing next to you. Not like mouth breathing, like just breathing and taking everything in. And she says, are you sure you wouldn't want to take more of that? That seems pretty useful. I mean, don't you think we could maybe make some armor of our own later out of that?
Oh my God, we would have matching jackets. Yeah, absolutely. And she starts... He, like, skins the whole thing.
Fantastic. All right, ooh, beautiful.
Could I get, get some of the teeth? I want to take out its teeth and make, like, a wind chime, because I think Kia might like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My best Mara rituals are going to be so lit.
Oh boy.
Amazing. All right. Any questions, comments, concerns about the body? Anything else we're doing?
I think we need to take a little bit of a 10-minute rest so that we can sort of gain back a little bit of resistance here. I'm not feeling too good still.
I'm inclined to agree.
If I had to rate myself on a number between 1 and 77, I would say 18.
Oh, well,
that's oddly specific.
Yeah, that's like...
That's how the Vlaka rates things. You just come up with a number and it keeps increasing like every so often because...
Because you grow and change as a Vlaka.
As a person, yeah. So, yeah. I'm feeling around a 77 today, like at maximum, but of that number, you know, like 18, give or take.
That's beautiful.
This is getting too meta.
Well, let's just take a break and we'll sit for a little bit, catch our breath.
Does anyone have any healing?
Yes. No, I do. I can spell you, or I do have some serums, some potions if you're feeling more liquidy.
Oh. Mm. Well, how many spell slots? I'm sorry. How much more energy do you think you have for today?
This, probably 2.
Yeah, see, we all have scales of progress.
So how about a potion? May I offer you one?
I would love a stiff drink.
Yeah.
Right on the edge.
You get cheating. 2d8.
I don't know meta. That it's cheating for us to see how many hit points we have left to our friends.
Cheaters! To cast silence on all of you. All right.
Do you really think that's cheating though, to tell your friends out of combat?
No, it's funny. No? It's a funny conversation. Yeah. I think that
I just
meta,
wanted to make sure.
I don't think that meta chat is cheating. I think it's a different way to play the game.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyways,
you'll feel better for about if there were dice, it would be 2d8.
Oh, cool. Wow, an 8-sided dice. That's kind of rad.
Right?
That's more sides than I've ever seen. What if there were like 20 sides?
Oh, that would be insane. Who would
Gabby's
even
ears
use
start
those?
Bleeding.
Okay.
Smoke starts coming out of Caster's ears. Sweet.
I feel about, I would say like 29 now. It's a little better.
Yeah. Does anyone else need a potion? Is anyone else looking really dire?
Well, I'm
a choice. So. Are people guiding our decisions? Are we even in control? What's happened?
Oh, God.
Not to add to all this panic, but I feel a little bit, crispy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here, take this. And she hands you a second potion, and you get 2d8 of healing.
2d8 of healing.
Did you just have these on you this whole time?
I totally forgot about them until I was going through my notes and transferring my notes from one sheet to another.
Yeah, sometimes right you just have battle. To do like a little spring cleaning in the middle of, you know, recovery. And you discover suddenly all this stuff you've been carrying around in an invisible backpack. Does it ever feel like life is an invisible backpack of way more equipment than a person could possibly do all the things we do?
You might say that you guys feel like after that fight, you've like experienced so much that you've gained, you've like out on another level now.
Yeah, I feel like on another plane of existence.
Wow. Yeah.
Not yet. Just...
yet?
We are literally the worst.
You ever feel like people are just watching you, watching your every decision?
Oh my God, that's what leadership is, Jabby. Welcome.
Yeah. It's a heavy burden. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Jabby, how are you looking? You feel crispy?
I feel very good, actually.
Okay, great. So yeah. I'm going to make myself feel a little better.
Yeah, go for it. I pass out some trail mix that I didn't fall on.
Cool. Now, guys.
Last time I got crushed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got to make sure that everybody is aware of their, like, how of their stamina, like, how much they can go forward. So make sure that you know, just feel replenished now that we've taken 10 minutes to do that. Now,
union break.
Do you think it's true?
That's literally what
that's funny.
Getting resolve points. Yeah.
So what do we think?
Basically.
Do we think there could be more of these? I'm a little, I don't know. I feel like I was led over here by Desna, and she must have wanted us to see something. Is there something wrong with this creature? Or are they born like this?
Let me take a closer look. Kia is going to like just do an overall assessment.
Yeah, you made a really good check last game, Chia.
Yeah.
Kia. Chia seed. So you know that trolls, one, are deeply territorial.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely there's another for at least 100 miles.
Okay.
They're more like 50. I take that back. 100 miles is a long way. But also, this is not a troll's house. This is not what trolls look like. I mean, okay. Like, it clearly is a troll, but the strange skin.
Mm.
The, and various different pieces of it. I mean, you've now skinned this thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, It shares a lot of qualities of a troll, but the outside of it is entirely different. And it, as you start to like look inside of it, you see that like there are tumors and cysts growing inside of the troll's skin, several in its back and shoulder area. There's like another on the inside of its hip, these like large unnatural growths, which honestly are not that unusual for trolls who are so vulnerable to mutation because of their rapid healing abilities, that it's not unusual, but these tumors are not your usual kind of blank pieces of useless flesh. Mm-hmm. These tumors are they're sacs that are filled with this black liquid.
Oh, great. I'm definitely taking a sample, do biopsy situations here.
Sorry, Jabby. Jabby's face right now. He's taken off the headphones. He's done. So you take a sample, absolutely. Make sure to write it down.
I am.
Beautiful description, just nasty is all.
It was really, really gross. The other thing, as you start to look at this, you realize that the troll's mutational capabilities might, and has certainly in other situations, make it so that the troll adapts and absorbs parts of its environment.
Okay.
So something going on in these tunnels possibly push the troll to mutate in a new way where it had a defense against it. And simultaneously, it absorbed whatever was trying to kill it, or whatever was killing it slowly, but was not obviously fire or acid or whatever it might have been resistant to after this madness.
Okay, cool. I relay all of this information.
That seems foreboding. Oh. If it's consuming or absorbing magic, then, well, we already know there have been huge surges of magic across this entire planet.
Just seems like the deeper we go, the more potent the magic.
The other important thing is that this would have taken a long time.
Yeah, whatever this is, didn't just happen a month ago. This has been, I don't know. And she like puts her hand on the like wall again and just feels for a moment, sniffing the air with her snoot. And she just says, this planet is breathing magic. It has been for a long time.
Kia?
Yeah?
Do you think maybe with your sample, we might be able to, I don't know, maybe replicate its adaptive capabilities?
I mean, quite possibly. We would have to have it in a very stable environment. I mean, seeing as trolls are rather strong and resilient, and it seemed to have compromised that, but certainly, I mean, I can even maybe get something started now while we're waiting.
Yeah, if you need any help, let me know.
Okay. She's just gonna like set up like acid tests, like pH tests, to see what kind of like it the liquid is, to try and do basic tests.
Absolutely. Yeah. How long are you gonna spend testing in this one place?
I think, I mean, just the 10 minutes that we're resting, just like really quick, like pH strip kind of tests, like very rudimentary starting.
Yeah. It has a very neutral acidic balance. It defies classification on your first couple tests. But it's no secret that it is magically charged in some way, right?
Okay.
It's hard to exactly tell what kind of magical charging it is or what effect it would have if it got poured on someone, right? If someone was exposed to it directly. But it doesn't seem to be aerosolizing, right? It's not like turning into gas. It's not like it's not particularly reactive.
Stays.
Yeah.
Cool.
It also probably isn't explosive. There's some information.
Not explosive.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I'd rather not explode.
Understandable.
So you do just a quick little like 5 minute test after you're done with your little community sit down, your union break. And it sounded like you were asking for information when you listened and touched the wall.
I was more just finding a way to express this in a way that was more about a mystic understanding than science.
Hurry.
But I mean,
you'll take
I
information.
Do think that
yeah.
she, but I'll take any information
yeah,
you're willing
absolutely.
To give.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, because she is sort of thinking to towards Desna at this point. Like, why would you take me here? Why would you lead me here?
There's
to see this?
No song, but there is vibration in the stones around you. Subtle, gentle vibration. Some kind of machinery.
Yeah. She says, there's... there's a heartbeat, There's heartbeat. There's a heartbeat here. There's something buzzing. It feels And she looks at Castor as a mechanic and she says, it feels made. It feels like a construct of some kind. Not beyond dwarves to make such things or people who mind. What would be at the bottom of something like this? And she just, it's that thing where the camera pulls and like she looks down one of the cavern sort of tunnels and it just seems to stretch and yawn just in her mind's eye. Mm-hmm.
And as you look down that tunnel, along the side of the tunnel stretching out away from you, almost like this kind of strange, inexplicable trace, a shadow begins approaching, stretched long by the light of the prime claw streaming from your forehead, but nothing is casting the shadow.
She sort of like bristles and her tail that's sort of lackadaisically, sort of always wagging when she's thinking like this, just stops still and she begins to growl and sort of take up a defensive position.
Ia grabs her like sword behind her and like also like gets in defense mode.
Form of.
Yes.
Just party. No,
yeah,
no. Just,
like, yeah, she doesn't turn into like a platypus
today. It felt
like we
were gonna do like a Sailor Moon like combo power that moment. You know what I mean?
Gotcha, gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
The shadow continues along the wall. The long, elongated, stretched out, distorted image of what clearly it becomes more and more clear, at least, as it approaches, deforms itself into a humanoid as it comes closer and closer and closer until, I'm assuming you guys aren't moving, it is standing on the wall right next to you.
Yeah.
It seems to be stretching out from something in the middle of the cavern, like right on the rail tracks of the mining carts.
She like holds her her rock-on symbol. She holds her fist weapon in front of her, casting this sort of like glowing light off of, you know, kind of the lightsaber effect, right, off of her hard light weapon against this shadow, and says, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, friend or foe. Make your decision now.
A limb extends out from the body of this form and reaches out and points a finger. And as it does, it scratches into the stone slowly with this sound. Turn out the light.
Insight check? I don't know how you would insight check a shadow,
you
but
can't.
Maybe you tell me. Yeah.
You gotta make a decision here.
Kia, under her breath, goes, the sun. The sun.
Okay.
Or that thing. And he points to Amaruk's moat that's swirling around her head.
Yeah. She says, I don't know if I can. And she lowers the like the weapon that's in its face and then kind of shakes her paw, right? Mm-hmm. And it sort of dissipates in a wisp. But like her moat, like it's always been there. And she says, I can't.
You could put a sock on it. I have some extra socks.
Are they gross. Clean though?
Yeah, they're clean. I'm not an animal. Jeez. Do you want some socks?
But now I'm just imagining the moat swirling around, but just a sock on top of it and patting her snoot.
So there's
I thought
something that has been sort of bugging Amaruk, and she kind of like backs away from the thing and she says, It wasn't always like this. I just, before I could hear the music, it was dark. It was like Goruk's. It didn't cast light. And she kind of like closes her eyes and she just like thinks instead of Desna of the black butterfly and like concentrates on the black butterfly and what life was like when she used to sit as a little pup in the middle of these dark caves in the darkness where there was no light and yet it was also kind of okay.
Kia, it looked like you had a thought and I want to give you time to say it.
Well, you can say no to this story-wise if you would
like. Yeah, let's talk about it.
The second that Amaruk closed her eyes, I was hoping that Kia would like opportunistically take that as the moment to like slide this little duck sock like on top of the moat, like to jump up. And it's this like pale blue duck sock and her socks don't match ever, but she has a barnyard set.
Oh no, the barnyard set.
So while Amaruk's eyes are closed, Kia's gonna try to hop up and place this duck sock that she has onto the moat to try and like make it just a little darker, at least dim it at the very least. She has a whole barnyard set of socks. However, she does not ever have like matches for her socks. And so she just uses the socks for whatever. So like, it's either this is going to be used for dusting or I'm going to put this on a moat. So she's just going to hop up and try to.
Okay. I'm down with you absolutely doing this, but Amaruk, let's go inside your brain for a minute.
My mind palace.
Yeah. you think about darkness, right? At the bottom line, you think about darkness and emptiness and you think about, your fellow Vlaka who are blind and who do not see light. You think about the silence that you have lived with for your entire life and the fact that the bits of noise that you do get, the bits of light into your ear canal that comes, are artificial. And as you think about this, you like find yourself again in the long, winding ice caves of your home world, stretching out in both directions, except you can't see them, but you can hear them for the first time. As you sit there, you become aware of the darkness around you. And you try to blink your eyes, but no amount of blinking will allow you to see through it. Do you have anything to say, Amaruk?
She, hearing like for the first time, like just the drips, right? Mm-hmm. The drips of the like places where the ice is melting, and every once in a while just the shudder as something cracks a little bit and massive glacial shelves just send whispers of vibrations through these caves. But she can hear through that it's like the beginning of that song in Bambi. Right where it starts. It starts with the drips, and she recognizes like the natural rhythm, the music within it that she never could actually physically hear.
Love that. Ooh. And as you hear these drips that on their own are like deafening to you in a way that you can't even imagine. The wind slowly moans through these caverns, and as you continue to listen, as you become aware that you're no longer where you were and that this is different and everything has suddenly changed, you hear the sounds. And as the sounds continue, they themselves turn into notes, clinking back and forth. And
sorry.
Yeah.
There's like this feeling that I hate, but is very real in these situations when it's so dark, when it's so black that you lose all sense of like how big or small a space is.
Mm-hmm.
And so because she cannot see, it begins to sort of expand in like a web of just a mental web of like her through her blind sight of the of like nebulas mm-hmm. stretching out and star fields or like an asteroid or something, just the memory of what that looks like. And before, like almost as if she can see each of these things, it's just gone.
Exactly. I love that. And each sound becomes a color that stretches across your field of vision. You aren't sure if you're hallucinating it or what. And as the sounds begin to grow and more drips happen and you become aware of more and more things happening around you, the wind and the glacial cracking in another place and footsteps somewhere far, far above you, they start to form the wings of a butterfly. And you open your eyes to find that your light has gone out, surprised with the difference between this and reality, that the truth of Desna and the butterfly existing and reality, and you look up to see the duck sock rotating around your head.
Yeah.
And then you look around at your friends who are staring at the middle space where there should have been something, and now there is something, where stands the faintest, gentlest shadow — is a word I'm using too much, but it fits this perfectly — shadow of Aurelia.
Oh, hi.
The shadow is gone.
Oh.
The shadow on the wall.
The wall shadow is gone, but the shade of Aurelia is here.
Yes. Shade of Aurelia is here. Thank you.
Look at Caster.
You better not be making me the fool, please. If you're really Aurelia, please tell me something only I would
know. I don't have much time. Listen carefully. The voice is stretched out. It's kind of like hearing someone talk at the end of a long, long tube of cardboard. Most of the sound has been absorbed and sucked away, and you're just getting the little bit of a ghost of the original voice. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But it doesn't matter now. I let him out. I lied to you. It made me lie to you. And now it's out. I don't know what it wants, really, but I think it wants to take this place somewhere else. Somewhere beyond... I can't.
Aurelia?
I can't speak for long. I will.
Where is everyone? Where did he take them?
Inside him, through him, beyond him. It doesn't tell me much. It doesn't speak. It feels and consumes. But it has a plan. I'm it now. But there's a chance. the shadow of a chance that we can stop it.
How? Start talking.
I don't know yet. I'm going to do more digging, more looking. There are friends on this planet. And if you run into me again, I might not be me.
How will we know?
I'll tell Castor something only I would know. I'm sorry, Castor. But it's just another day on the cruiser. Just another hit. Look, I have to go now. He's watching me.
I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon. And it's almost like it was never there. You blink your eyes and the shadow, the absence of light is just constant.
I knew it. What? I knew it was her. I knew.
But it's also more than her. Let's not forget that. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sorry, Castor. It's not that I don't think she is the victim here, because I think that she is. I think there are a lot of people who reach out for meaning when they are at the end of what they can bear.
That's possible. Very possible. Very probable.
I don't want to lose this. And she looks at Kia and she says, hope.
Well, the one thing I decided to listen to was the fact that there is a sliver of a chance. Therefore, we just keep going because we got to get Mercy. That's all.
We have to figure out who this thing is. Can you think of any?
This hunger.
A hunger. I mean, has anyone? The darkness for me isn't like that. It's not. It doesn't. It's like a velvet blanket that stretches out. It's not a mouth. So, is it a mouth for anyone else?
I have an idea. Kia, like, puts her backpack down, grabs the sock off of Amaruk and puts it away. Sorry. It's okay. And she takes some of the troll skin and, like, drapes it over herself, like, in a tent, and kind of, like, shuffles over. She, like, trips on herself a couple of times while she, like, shuffles over to the corner. And she, like, hides under the skin. And she goes, all right, Bessie, you there? And this is my chance to commune with Bessmara. And I'm using it in the corner under a troll skin tint.
As troll blood stinking drips down your shoulders as you desperately try to get a moment of privacy amongst your friends without asking them to leave. Oh my God.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where Amaruk, who has just had her own sort of version of this, goes to say something, and then she's like, no. And she just sits on the ground with her hands, you know, on either knee, just in a meditative, supportive, like, you go, girl, type of way.
You okay there, Jabby?
Jabby's watching this, seeing Amaruk's Desna moment, seeing Castor's thousand-yard stare as literal ghosts come back to haunt him, and seeing Kia make a skin tent, I just say, just under my breath, oh goodness, what have I gotten myself into?
I don't know how Jabby became the normal one.
Yeah, right.
Right? Do some drawings on the dirt, realizing I can't see much, but
all right, fantastic. Kia.
What is it, crew member?
Oh, hi. I seem to have a monster of a problem, and I could use your guidance.
What do you want?
Have you ever encountered pure hunger, a shadowy hunger that just consumes and consumes something?
Oh, Kia, you're looking... You're getting the right clues, but you're just taking them in the wrong way. The shadows, let's talk plainly. The shadows that you're encountering are kind of like projections. Projections of a real sentient being. The monster that you're facing isn't of space, isn't even of time. It's a fragment. Kind of like the broken piece of a lamp. Mm. In a cosmic sense. Now, maybe a broken piece of a gun might be a better analogy. Let's call it a trigger. So your trigger on its own, comparatively, is not very dangerous, but were it to be put back together, look, you keep a gun separate from its ammunition, right?
Yeah.
So make sure the pieces say stay separate. And you and your friends let it out, didn't you?
I would like to say that was not my crew member.
I don't care for excuses, and neither do you.
No.
So let's leave that bullshit in the airlock. You have a job to do. Kill it, capture it. Whatever you need to do, just keep going forward.
Did I
answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I feel a lot better now, quite honestly.
Stay bathed in blood, Kia. Stay hungry. Better stay thirsty.
Mm.
I could use a drink. And the presence, is gone. And you say, I am feb some rum. You've had this sensation that when you speak, you're like, you have your eyes closed and you speak and you're aware that you're like speaking to something, right? And your voice is going somewhere. And as you say, I have some rum, you feel the sound bounce back. And
oh,
you're
no.
reminded that you're talking to a wall.
I mean, not so much a wall as a phalanx of skin. Bleeding forever. It's fine.
So I take off the thing, literally bathed in blood, because that's how we do in Bessie's crew. That rhymed.
Okay. So I had a chat with a friend, and we essentially, something is out of place. Something is broken. Something was released, which triggered a break in time itself, in space, and all of this. Essentially, she was saying that what we are dealing with are real live sentient beings, and that these shadows that we're seeing are projections of them, that is, it's a shadow, right? Like, you can't have a shadow without the thing or the light. Hey, if you want to go the light route, Amaruk. But yeah. So we're not dealing with something that's intangible.
Well, if they're things, or I guess people with several question marks after that. Maybe they could be reasoned with, you know, if they're hungry, maybe we could give them a food source so they kind of stop, I don't know, eating worlds. I don't know.
I feel like, did you tell us about that Bess Mara said that it's we have to keep them apart? You haven't
yeah.
said that yet.
Oh, did
you
I? Didn't say that. I was going
maybe.
To.
Okay. Well,
yes, I did. Just okay. assume I gave you the Kia yeah. paraphrase version gotcha, of what gotcha. She said.
Yeah. Right.
And she says, these people, even before the gap, they knew these places, these housings were supposed to keep them in. So maybe if there was one on our planet, there is one here. Maybe there is a construct. And if we activate it, it will shut whatever Euralia is being asked to serve out.
Yeah, I mean, we could just keep going. Like, that way. And she points with, like, all four arms, like, deeper into the cavern.
Yes.
We're not going to learn much more here.
I think we do need to keep going. I'm just making another broad, sweeping assumption.
Caster, anything from you?
I think during this time, just thinking about what nothingness is like, or just being conscious but not being heard, seen, able to move, like all those thoughts just start to invade his head. And he uses his glamour projections to put himself in a snuggie-like costume of ultimate comfort.
It's a little squawks onesie.
Yes!
That's squawks onesie. My God. That's great. I love it.
Part of it now. We demand it.
Hey, I'm yes. writing it down, literally, right now.
Oh, I'm in my happy place. I'm in my happy place. I'm in my happy place.
Caster, yeah. Come on. We gotta go.
She, like, kind of trots over and then kind of gives him, like, a little head bonk that's a little too hard, but, like, she meant it in a nice way, and hopefully it comes across that way.
Oh, I think you scrabbled my circus with that one.
Oh. I'm sorry. It was supposed to be a love bump nudge. Ah, shit. Well, come on.
And she kind of, like, grabs the squawk's tail and, like, starts kind of pulling him forward.
And he follows.
Fantastic.
Sort of follows behind, and she reaches up and gently feels the beak of the duck. And she thinks for a minute, and she looks up and she takes it off to see if her moat is still bright.
Yes.
She goes, oh, thank God. It wasn't supposed to change the first time. I'm so glad. Okay. Only so many things that cannot be. You know, you can only take so much of that. Kia, have your sock! Sort of bouncing and echoing off of the walls of this cavern as she scampers down, her claws kind of clicking against.
Just put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket. We might need it later.
Oh, thank you.
Shabby, anything from you? Do you want to talk to God too?
I guess in thinking on how Aloritu is more a god of the hidden truth and magic, I feel like we're generally supposed to find our own answers. So I think, I think to myself, you definitely put out a mystery here. As I walk forward and I ask Kia, so these creatures that are, I guess, people.
Maybe. Not really. Projections.
Do you think they're alive or?
Oh, for sure. I think it's just a displacement.
Do you think they're suffering?
Yeah. Big time.
Well, let's see if we can help them.
Yeah.
And post haste, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Let's go.
So you all descend deeper in, following the tracks in front of you. Amaruk's light keeping the shadows at bay, causing these long, long flickering shadows to extend out around you. You get the feeling that you're being watched, but no amount of looking will reveal anything until finally, up ahead, you see a large piece of machinery. And as you get a little bit closer, you realize that it's this massive dwarven drill, which has been backed away from, like, what looks like the end of this cavern. And cut into the far end, it looks like this drill ended up drilling into another cavern that went sideways. It's very much, the tunnel is very much in progress. You can see support beams are still being put up, right? All there's like I-beams of various different sorts on the ground and fixing welding material equipment, excuse me, is on the ground nearby. And it looks like they were in the middle of work, possibly, when it happened.
Can I look around and see if I see any more of the kind of telltale, either crystals or black liquid, and just inside this cavern?
Absolutely. Make me a perception check.
After this, I do have a question about how Euralia looked.
Great.
23.
No.
Okay.
No dark crystals. It seems like we're in between veins, in fact, so there's no precious metals at all. We're way, way deep in the planet, so there's like thick, heavy rock down here. Probably centuries and centuries and centuries old, right? Jabby, great question.
Yeah.
You did not recognize the outfit that she was wearing. Caster, you do. It's her old uniform. Or her old armor, I guess. From the glory days.
In comparison to the shadows we saw on Logic, when we were each having our different visions, what did those look like? And how similar or dissimilar did they seem?
From Euralia's
when
shade?
We were in the cave. Yeah, to Euralia's shade versus the visions.
Euralia's shade had form and shape. If I remember correctly, the shadows were kind of formless and shapeless. Right? Pictures and outlines of fear.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, Parker.
I'm gonna say Caster goes and inspects the drill to see if it's functional or if it can be salvaged.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please do.
Heck yeah. That's my specialty. Ooh.
Ooh.
37.
37. Oh, yeah. The drill is functional. It's fueled. It is ready.
Wow. Heck yeah.
Caster's like, power.
So that's an option. A big old drill. I've never driven one of these before. I'm actually kind of tickled.
We need to drill back in the direction. We need to get underneath the obelisks, into the obelisks.
You could drill the coordinates, yeah.
So if we get in the drill, we can just drill, baby, drill all the way there. And then we'll be able to do something else.
She's she gets excited and then realizes that the scope of this whole quote unquote project is still quite large, no matter what they accomplish. Yeah.
Based on its size, does it look like we would have to drill from here across the mountains through to the desert, or would we be able to pick it up with the Kingfisher?
You are not going to be able to pick it up with the Kingfisher because you'd have to like get it all the way out. Right. Your best bet is probably drilling from here.
And she kind of like smiles and she pets it. Like pets the side of the drill and she goes, "Thanks, Desi." Well, get in. What should we name it?
Does it have a serial number on it?
Charladoof the doof drill.
Charladoof.
Raise
all aboard the Charladoof.
Wait, did we just get the episode title? Is it Charladoof?
Oh my god.
Wait, is it Charladoof or Charladoof?
That's the question.
Doof.
The TH. All right. I got to have to enter this into my notes. Is that a reference to anything? Am I like missing a doof? A joke?
No, it's not. I just put letters together.
That's beautiful. Charladoof. Where mind works.
The drill. Amazing. Oh, it's like Charlemagne.
Charladoof. Yeah.
It's like a very noble name for a drill. Yeah.
Charladoof.
I'm so into it. All right.
More like Charladis. Get in.
What?
Like Charladis. Like Charlotte. Never mind. I'm not that funny. I'm sorry. Episode. I'm stressed out.
So I'm thinking. So Charladoof colon skin tent.
Charladoof skin tent.
Yeah.
Why skin tent afterwards?
Let's leave
skin tent
out.
Skin tent is
its own thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Sorry, Shiznit, I tried. I tried, Shiznit. I really did.
You did. Shabby's going for Chad's approval.
Oh boy, good to know. Yeah, so she sort of like looks for a place for them to stand and then tries to stand up top and look like she understands life again, but it's still really hard.
Fantastic. So you'll clamber into this drill after questioning sanity and life. It has about 8 seats inside, right? It looks it's like kind of mobile command center as well as drill. There's like a radio in the back that still works fairly well, right? Like a long distance communicator. There's a workshop bench in the back as well for like fixing stuff and like a whole bunch of tools. And then there's the pilot and co-pilot seat up front, as well as like several places for passengers to sit. Any questions before we...
What does the co-pilot need to do? Let's figure out, Castor, what you need help with up here. I feel like probably technology readouts, right? Then you couldn't be better here with these people.
Yeah, drill speed, a variety of different things are what co-pilot would control. So probably Jabby's a good set for co-pilot. Well, Kia keeps her eyeballs peeled for magical happenstance.
Yeah, cool.
So you start up the engine, which whirs up with this thunderous roar. Yeah, Jabby.
As we get in, I start to head towards the back, and then it's like, oh, co-pilot. I'm like, it'll still work, okay. And then I take some time as we're getting going to make a little nest of webs, basically like a weaver bird's little nest.
And then God.
I make myself comfy because I feel like this will be a long ride. So.
Yep.
And I just kind of like make a little room, little mini web apartment as I settle in.
Web apartment. Yeti. Jesus. The furriest little spider ever. Engine roars to life. You flick a few switches, like figuring out the kinks and twists of this system, and the drill begins to spin. Shoom. Shoom. shung, shung, as this massive drill of pure diamond starts to twist around and around, scintillating in the lights ahead of you, like shining. As Kia, as you look forward, you can see the like lights of the that are reflecting through and off the diamond, shining across your friends' faces with these like glimmering beams as the caster like pushes the engine forward. The tracks below you start to move and you start to cut into rock, turning around, around, around as you start to arc towards the west and south, heading off in the direction of the area below the monolith. It's gonna take a good long while to get here. You guys have some time here.
I want to say that Amaruk does not enjoy this at all, because I'm just thinking about what it would be like to have blind sight based on vibrations and be literally inside a drill. It would be the worst, like, full body skin crawly experience ever.
Yeah.
It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she is probably like, she normally is pretty good at just kind of sitting in a chair and waiting as we go from place to place, but she is just, tail is sort of tucked between legs in her, like around in her lap. And she is just holding on and sort of rocking back and forth with the vibration of the inside of the drill. And she says, "This thing needs shocks on the seat."
I think Caster sees, he looks at his left forearm, and there's a compartment that opens,
mm-hmm.
and out comes Proto, my new pet.
Yes, exactly.
This purple amorphous blob that shifts and morphs and shapeshifts. I was like, "Hey, buddy, could you do my friend there a favor a little bit? She needs something for the ears, you know, like we practiced."
The goop, like, splits into two pieces and goes around the back of your head and then, like, goes back and starts to slither up your leg, Amaruk.
Yeah, so Amaruk has her eyes closed,
uh-huh.
has never seen this thing ever. And she suddenly, one eye opens, and like you see the entire, it's that thing where the terror is so great that you see so much white of eye and just a little pinprick of the like pointing down. And she goes, "Ah!" Screams as she goes, "I'm being attacked," but she can't quite figure out how to like unbuckle herself because she's never been in this vehicle before, and the thing does whatever it's doing because she can't get out in time.
So you like try to buckle and like fiercely struggling with your buckle, and suddenly the chair gets much more comfortable beneath you.
Wow.
And like it's suddenly you lean back into a little bit and you can like feel the padding like growing out from the back, and like you can barely feel the vibration through your back or your butt at all now.
Wait, this is amazing. What is this thing?
Around your shoulder, a little like two little eyeballs kind of form on like a little proboscis extending out from around the corner, and it kind of like bobs back and forth at Kia before Amaruk looks over her shoulder, seeing where Kia's eyes are going, yeah. and it like sucks back in.
Yeah, and she's like, "I didn't see anything. I'm so comfortable."
No, it's okay. It's a. What is it? I feel like Kia would know.
Kia, I think, would know. It's called a Proog.
A Proog. Okay.
Proog.
I can send you, a little sheet okay. there for you.
It's a Proog. It's gonna be a great cushion for you. I didn't know we had a Proog.
Krug on the Krug.
Is he yours?
Yes, actually. He's my new pal. I found him on my windowsill.
Oh, I love when pets choose their owners. What's its name?
Proto.
Ah.
Proto.
That's very cute. It's no Charlatouf, but it's pretty cute.
The engine roars in compliment.
I love that.
Charlatouf, 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 Charlatouf.
Yeah, and so Amaruk just like does that thing where there's turbulence on the airplane, but she needs to be a businessman who's respectable. And so she just closes her eyes and crosses her arms and tries to be as comfortable as Proto will allow her to be.
Great. And you dig through and through, moving at an alarming pace, just tearing through pieces of the world. You rip into caves that are open and filled with crystals, fields of like dust and sand. One, you tear into one cave that is just like packed full of mushrooms, and spores splash out in all directions, covering the windshield before the windshield wipers wipe them clear. As you dive deeper and deeper and further west, until finally you're cutting through simple sandstone. Yes, Jabby.
As we're going, I'd like to take some time to take out the troll teeth and start poking holes in them to make kind of like a little mini chandelier type wind chime. And on six of the teeth, I'm going to inscribe the different runes of Iloritu. Mm-hmm. And then on three others, I do one for Desna, one for Waden, and one for Besmara's.
Nice.
And then...
Whose side are you on, Jamie? I have to know.
That's the question. Yeah. And when it's done, I just kind of hang it up in my little tent, analyzing it, looking at it before it's fully ready. And then I put it in my bag and wait for us to put it up on the Kingfisher.
Great. The troll teeth rattle in the vibration before you put it back in your bag.
How many hours do we have till we get there?
30 years.
Because the Kingfisher got us there quick. I'm just wondering if we could take it in shifts and get a long rest in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, I love that.
It is going to take 7 hours for you to get there.
Is a long rest 8 hours? Or is it 6 hours?
I'd say that all of you but one could get a long rest in, let's say.
Well, I don't need a long rest.
Yeah, Jabby found out that he had extra spell slots that he didn't know about at the beginning of the game, he didn't get hurt in the last encounter. So Jabby will take the night's shift on this one.
You didn't get hurt at all in the encounter?
Fantastic. Okay, don't sound so scandalized.
Dexter has learned.
I'm impressed.
The hard way.
Like, don't take it the wrong way.
I did my time. 12 years.
All right. And so as Jabby guides the drilling ship down, kind of estimating where you have to go, the rest of you pass out in the back. Jabby, make me a computer's check.
Yum.
Yes.
25.
Cool.
Roll low.
Cool. So you continue forward, drilling and drilling and drilling. And the computer, it seems to be like holding strong. You do get a sense that there's like a large kind of emptiness ahead of you as the drill interprets, right, using sonic sensors, using its own vibrations in order to like sonic ping the rocks around you. So you're able to like go through softer stone as you weave back and forth, and you think that you're approaching either like a big patch of something organic or like some kind of emptiness, right, some big
big openness, and maybe you guys can, because you're close to the area, you know that you're somewhere underneath the desert, and the drill chunks out into a large open cavern and like falls about 10 feet crashing on the ground, all of you rattling, the proto like slithering out of underneath from Amaru, kind of like whimpering as it does, and just back into Castor's arm as all of you are jostled suddenly awake.
Sorry, I had my hands at 10 and 2 and 4 and 6
in four and six.
I'll just got that. All of them. Sorry. I think we're here.
That was a deep cut.
Oh my god, that would not
20 be intelligence.
You like peer out the windows in front of you. And it's clear, like, there's light inside of this cavern, right? There's, like, actually quite a lot of light. In fact, it's not a cavern at all. It looks more like a large, large room. In some ways, it is reminiscent of the massive room that you found with the, like, reactor-like thing in the nursery back on Brightclaw. But it is much larger than that. It is about half the size of the massive, massive opening that you found on the eastern side of the planet where the giants live. But the architecture of this room is covered by strange formations, square. Some of them look like they're clay or small rocks, kind of like mashed together, and as you look closer, you see that you have fallen into a massive, tiny city. And that's where we're gonna take our break.
Hello?
What?
Massive, tiny, so a medium city?
You'll have to find out later. We're gonna
find out what Miles means next time on Star Town.
In like 5 minutes.
Miniature. Exactly, yes. Miniature. There we go. Massive miniature city.
Like a model city.
Yeah. All right.
Like in Beetlejuice. Sorry.
Like in Beetlejuice. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes. We're going to take a quick break. We encourage all of you to go to the bathroom. Make sure to keep your bowel movements regular. We'll be back in just a moment. I don't know what's going on tonight.
I don't know why.
Sponsored by Prunes.
Sponsored by Prunes. Thank you so much for listening to Starfound. Once again, please leave us a like or a follow or whatever it is, and a positive review wherever you are listening. And please head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod in order to pledge to help support us and get some added benefits and a mess of extra Starfound content. And remember, you can tip in order to help or hinder the players at streamlabs.com/hearthsingergames. Thank you again for listening and for your support, and we'll be back next week. See you soon, Starfam. This podcast uses trademarks and/or copyrights owned by Paizo Incorporated, which are used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo Incorporated. For more information about Paizo's community use policy, please visit paizo.com/community-use. For more information about Paizo Incorporated and Paizo products, please visit paizo.com.
Music by Murder Sauce.